Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation, so make sure you comment, like, share, and follow. I'm your host, Preach. We got a great conversation for you today. Let's get into it.
But yeah, I was there 19, 20, and the only time I ever had Chick-fil-A before that was at a Relay for Life. Do you know what those are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So they do like the overnight, somebody's walking the whole time. And so they were delivered to the field, and they're probably sitting for a while. So it wasn't like the best.
It wasn't super.
Yeah, it wasn't fresh. It wasn't the best impression. I remember it not being bad, but I wasn't like, oh, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
And so never really had a good encounter with Chick-fil-A before then, because that was my only one. But once I started working there, man, like,
you're like, I'll eat this every day.
Yeah, no, day. Absolutely. And I went through, I tried, you know, everything on the menu. I wanted to try everything on the menu, so I was familiar with everything. Sure. And I mean, there was like one thing where I wasn't impressed with. And then somebody told me, okay, this is what you do with it. And we kind of mixed some of the sauces, put some bacon on that bad boy, and good.
I didn't even have it until I was an adult. They didn't have Chick-fil-A here.
Yeah.
Until, I don't know, maybe like 10 years ago.
Really? Oh, man.
I don't know. I'd have to look in the archives to see when they brought it to Idaho.
Oh, yeah, because I bet the one over town square was probably the first one.
Probably.
The one over there.
I had never. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then once I had it, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's some good stuff right there.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, you definitely need to try the breakfast. Try the breakfast. They actually just not too long ago started doing the spicy chicken biscuit.
Oh, sure. I like the spicy one, too.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you see they have a grilled spicy one?
I've never had the grilled.
Yeah, they have a grilled spicy sandwich.
That's
now.
That's too healthy.
Oh, come on.
I'm just kidding.
I'm a fan of that.
I'll have to try it.
The grilled club. If you want to try not to be too healthy, you get the club, because then they throw the bacon on the bad boy.
Oh.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, cool.
And then what's it called? My default is the burrito, though. So that's what I got this morning, was the chicken burrito.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah. Nah, that's a good one. Oh, man. But yeah, so our whole morning just kind of got thrown off. And we're here. We made it. So
we made it. We're safe. I was actually feeling a little bit maybe sick this morning. I was like,
oh no.
Am I gonna have to cancel today? I had some tea actually, which I don't usually have tea for breakfast.
Okay. But
I was like, maybe that'll help. And I felt like it did.
I told Christina we need to get back to the loose leaf. We started doing loose leaf tea for a little bit, and then we got away from it. And
you feel like it was helping you?
And I feel, well, it's just like the bags aren't the same. It's just not the same.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, we need to get back to the loose leaf, because it is. It's healthier.
I don't know that I've ever done loose leaf tea.
Yeah. It's good.
It's like you get a bag of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll just. And so, yeah, you can get yourself a little filter and throw it in there. And
Kenzie's probably done that. She's more of a tea person. I'm not really a tea person.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And I love coffee. Mm-hmm. And so
I love the hot. So I've never been a coffee drinker, really.
Really?
I love the hot drink. And so I think that's why I lean towards teas, because I love that feeling of getting a hot drink.
Yeah.
But I've just never been a big coffee fan, which is funny, because you won't hear me say I'm good at many things, but I can make a good drink. I can make a good coffee.
You can make good coffee.
Yeah, because I used to work at coffee shops within my churches.
Oh, sure.
Times.
So you could do like the fancy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I was throwing down in the cup down in Texas. The church we went to had the cup, and I was working there at the coffee shop. And then when I went up to Alaska, I ran the coffee shop up there for a little bit. And so Christina was really mad at me when she first found out, because we had been married for at least 3 years, I think, by this point.
How are you even holding out?
Right? No, yeah. And she's a big coffee drinker. Like, she loves coffee. And she loves the foo-foo stuff, the mochas and that type of stuff. And so it was on a Sunday morning. We're over at the church, and she wants a coffee. And she's like, but I don't know if I really want to get it here. It's not the same. I don't like it as much. And I was like, okay, come on. And I went over there, and I made the coffee for her. I just walked back there, and I made it and whatnot. And she was like... Yeah, she was so upset because it was so good. And she was like, wait a
that's
minute.
It's like you've been lied to. Like,
you've been holding out this whole time?
We're building a foundation of trust here, and you didn't tell me that.
Right? So,
it's funny when you learn some of those new things about your
spouse. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was
what?
That.
How?
Yeah. I think it was that Christmas. We ended up getting like a little espresso machine for home so I can make her drinks at home now.
Yeah. I think I became a big coffee drinker when we lived in the like Northwest. Well, we live in Northwest now because it's Idaho, but like the coastal Northwest.
Yeah, yeah. So
we
closer to Seattle. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say if you're in that area.
Portland had a really good coffee called Stumptown that was like super good.
Okay.
And so I'm a little bit of a coffee snob. Like we won't drink like Folgers.
Yeah.
Like that's just not come. That's not going to happen.
See, that's so funny because like I said, I'm not big on coffee and I rarely drink it. But I feel like I'm somewhat of a snob as well, just because of how I used to work with coffee. And I can taste little things that I'll be a little more picky.
Hint of orange. Yeah. You're like swirling your glass of coffee.
Not usually not that good, but I can be like, okay, they let this sit. They didn't like this isn't a fresh bean. They let it sit or something. Like I can taste
like
those
gas station
things.
Coffee.
Yeah.
No, oh, yeah. It's not good.
Yeah. So
or even like the diners usually.
Uh-huh.
Not so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So
anyway,
we were going to talk today. about hit you up and I said, hey, let's talk about these two topics. And today we're going to talk about the cross.
Yeah.
And just how it can symbolize unity within the church and what it can teach us about that. It's funny. I was having a conversation. So this past weekend, I was out. Me and you both were over at youth camps this past weekend. Uh-huh. Right. And so I was having a conversation with one of the guys and we were just mentioning how funny it is that in no other religion is the place like the symbol of their religion what killed their leader.
Right.
Right? Like in Christianity, the symbol of Christianity, what most people will recognize as a symbol of Christianity is the cross. Literally where Jesus was crucified. Like,
but it makes sense because that's the thing that set us free.
Right?
Right. That's the thing that he went the death and the resurrection is the whole thing.
Exactly. Right?
So it does make sense. But you don't see that.
Yeah, but you don't really see that.
You don't really see a whole lot of symbolism like that, like something that everybody wears around their neck.
Right.
Like I haven't seen that. Maybe it's just because I don't know a lot of other religions that people in other religions as well.
Yeah.
To like see them walking around with like a symbol on like that.
Yeah.
But it is a little less, I would think.
Yeah. Well, and it seems ironic, you know?
It is ironic. Yeah. I love this thing that symbolizes death.
Yeah, right? I was just thinking like, man, but there's so much beautiful symbolism in the cross.
Yeah.
And I can see why we kind of go back to it time and time again within our faith. And like you said, I mean, that's the thing. Like that's what set us free. That changed everything for the world, much less for those who actually place their faith in it.
Yeah.
So
and when you said unity, the first thing that came to my mind is like that is like kind of a one unifying piece.
Yeah.
Because there's different denominations now, which I don't think was ever the God wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are those like minor like differences that we have, and like I believe maybe this interpretation or this, right? But that everybody believes the cross.
Exactly.
Everybody believes in the death.
We all come back to that.
And the resurrection, and that's the unifying piece that we can all get around and be like, well, that's the main thing. The main thing's the main thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And it's funny because I feel like I think I put down on my list was one of those things like this is what we can agree on. This is orthodox, you know, right teaching that goes across every denomination. And I feel like when you stray away from that, that's when the rest of the body's like, oh, wait a minute, too far. Okay, that's a cult.
Sure.
Because if you start straying away from that, and I know even in some other religions, they'll say things like, okay, yeah, there was a cross, but Jesus wasn't on it, right? And so it's like, okay, now we're seeing a big chasm here. This is something we don't mess with when it comes to the Christian body. It's no, this was the death resurrection of our Savior, not someone that, you know, stepped into his place or anything like that. And so I think that you're right. That's one of those things where if we can come back to, we agree on this, this is the big thing, right? Like birth, death, resurrection.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot we can rally behind on that.
Yeah. Well, and an interesting thing about it, too, is that it was foretold.
Yeah.
Even before it was a thing.
Yeah. Right.
The crucifixion as a death way. It's part of, if you guys look, go back and look.
Right.
There's a, I can't remember the exact, I should have wrote it down, looked for it and wrote it down, but there's a reference to the Savior driving on a cross.
Yeah. Right.
And
I think it's a, does it say it's a tree, right? That he'll be hung on a tree. Yeah.
Hung on a tree. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. God must have maybe wanted that to some degree for, or just knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's not a surprise that that's become the symbol. Cause it's like, why wasn't it the stone?
Yeah.
You know, like rolling away the stone. Cause the resurrection is what we really celebrate, right? Like Easter, like that's the reason we celebrate that so much is because that's what brought us back to life. Like it's his, or showed us that he conquered death.
Yeah.
And so, so the death is the cross and the stone would be the life, but. Yeah, I think it's an awesome unity piece.
Absolutely.
You see, there's no like, oh, I'm not going to wear, or like I have a different version of that within Christianity, even though there's all the different denominations and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and even to the point of where you'll have, I mean, if you look throughout history and different art and culture, like you'll see different kinds of crosses, right? Like some we don't need to mention, right? Some that are used for ill reason. But what's it called? There's different kinds of crosses, but there's still always that fix back to the fact of Jesus dying on the cross.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing. And so I love that. I think that's a huge thing where we can rally around. Let me see if I can pull my list out. Was there anything else?
Well, yeah.
I know
so
you said that was the first thing that
as a graphic design person,
okay,
and someone who like does logos.
Yeah,
like, I hate to like compare the cross to a logo, but seriously, like what that does. But what does the logo do? Yeah. Like what does a symbol do?
Mm-hmm.
And it does create like this instant recognition.
Yeah.
Right. And instant like ability for people to kind of like unite behind something. Like you think about like Nike and stuff.
Yeah. I was about to say.
Like this, everybody knows what it is.
Yep.
Like they used to have the words on there, like when they originally made it.
They don't need it anymore.
Right.
Yep.
And it's kind of like the cross, but it's like even bigger. Like
everybody
in the world kind of knows what the cross is.
Exactly.
Like, I'm sure there's some unreached places, but it's such a unifying like symbol that, and people know what it means, even if they're not Christians.
Yeah. Across like, language barriers.
It goes across language barriers. Yeah. You guys can all be in the same room. You put a cross out, and if the Christians will be like, hey, I know what that means.
Right, exactly.
And the non-Christians will be like, hey, I know what that means. And and it's cool that we have that because it is a unifying piece in that way.
Oh, yeah.
Like you can definitely cross cultures with that.
Absolutely.
And not be able to speak to each other and know what it means.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, that's cool. Big. And it's, oh, man. And, I mean, I find that really interesting because, like you said, believers will be like, hey, I know what that means. And someone who's not a believer, like, I know what that means. Right.
And it draws this line, right?
Yeah. It really does. It can draw a line. And I think that's something that's big when it comes to unity in Christ, right? Unity in Christ doesn't always mean like fluffy dovey lovey with everyone in the world. But you're going to have anytime a body is coming together, a people group, a organization, whatever it is, when you're finding unity within this group, there's always at distinctions being drawn, like with others.
Yeah.
Right. And so within the body of Christ, what's really cool is that most of the things that we use to divide and make distinctions, I feel like the cross is a symbol that rises above those things. It really is. I mean, we talk about cultural divide, language divide, class divide, all these different things. The cross and just the kingdom of heaven is a call to rise above those things. And you see that that's actually one of the things I put down on here was that the cross is for all, right?
The cross is for all.
Yeah, the cross is for
all.
A lot
of the other stuff can fall away.
Yeah.
Is what feel like you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, that's like I said a minute ago, the main thing is the main thing.
Exactly.
And a lot of times we get stuck in the weeds on all the like not main things.
Oh yeah.
And like, well, what about this? And what about that? And maybe those are important. Some of them, but most of them probably aren't.
Yeah.
Because really it is like the cross that brings us back to God. And that's the most important thing, is that we're in relationship with God and we're in relationship with Jesus.
Exactly.
And how we go about that relationship is usually with the different things, right?
Exactly.
Like, how strict are we? How whatever.
Yeah.
But the cross is that unifying piece, I believe. And I did want to kind of just say, when I say, like, just for people watching or listening, when we say, like, they know what it means and they know what it means, they both know what it means, but their definitions are different.
Oh, right? Come on now.
Right? Because, like, Christians know what it means. Like, they know it's the power, and they know what it means to them that they were set free from their sin and brought back to God. The other ones, they know what it means more of, like, a reference to to the Christianity.
Yeah.
And that, like, oh, there was this guy named Jesus that died on a cross. But they don't fully understand the actual power of it.
Yeah. Oh, right? Absolutely.
So I just want to make that
clarification. Like you said,
they both understand something about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And like you said, they may see it as that's a reference towards Christianity, which may put a real bad taste in their mouth. Or, you know,
depending on their experience.
Exactly.
Right? Because unfortunately, not all Christians are Christian-like.
Exactly.
And so.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's where that whole, like, we can go down the road of church hurt and stuff like that, where people have misrepresented Christ. And
exactly.
So that symbol can be a painful symbol, not because of what it actually means, but because what they think it means.
Exactly. And I mean, I feel like you also run into that almost in every culture. That symbol has been abused.
Oh, sure.
The symbol of the cross has been abused and used in wrong ways.
Well, what's the enemy going to do, right? He's going to do everything he can to make that happen.
Yeah.
So if he can taint the symbol in some way, or taint the actual process of Jesus dying and resurrecting, he's going to try. And so,
absolutely.
I was just thinking about this the other day, how just appreciating pastors and stuff, but then knowing that, like, not all pastors and people in ministry are there for the right reason.
Mm.
Like, the enemy has his people
that
he's trying to infiltrate and cause chaos within the church. Because I was talking about how pastors actually struggle with a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a totally separate topic. Maybe we talk about it another time. But I heard a statistic that pastors right now, in this last year, like, one in five, almost, like, 18% have considered suicidal thoughts.
I believe it.
And it's like, man, isn't that the enemy?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that what the enemy does?
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of pressure there, and that's a whole, like, we could do a whole podcast on that, so maybe one for future.
Yeah, exactly.
But just to say, like, the enemy is at work in those spaces, and he's trying to put a damper on the cross. He's trying to, like, take away from its power as much as he can, in any way he can.
Yeah.
So that's where we need to, like, do our work and learn actually what it means.
Yeah.
And the power that it has.
Exactly. And I feel like that's the, again, kind of just this tie between the cross and unity itself, because I feel like unity is such a big piece of the kingdom, right? I feel like the same thing has happened there, to where you can use that word, and for some people, that's going to bring a negative connotation.
Unity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like for some people, it's like, to them, some people see the cross and it's red flags. Some people hear unity and it's red flags.
Especially if unity has been used in the way of, like, you need to unify by just falling in line.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you know what the leader is doing is wrong. Right. But we need unity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is not biblical, right?
Nope.
There's definitely room for biblical discipline and all those things, and so we do need to watch. And I'm sure that's kind of what you're talking about.
Well, yeah,
referring to
you have that. You have the fact of it being abused, right? This, you know, you have to unify even behind this wrong or whatever it may be. You have the straw man, just like you have with Christianity, right? You're going to have some people see the cross, and in their mind, they're picturing the straw man of a colonialist, right? Somebody who's over here to push their way and take away our culture and our you know, and you can hear that term unity and you can think, oh, okay, so you want us to lose all of our distinctions, right? You want us to uniformity.
We all need uniformity,
right? Uniformity
versus unity,
right? Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Right? So there's a lot of times, especially if there is a history, just like with the cross, there's a history, right? Mm-hmm. There's a reason why there's such big animosity and distinction between certain people groups in the cross. There's going to be a history that can bring this animosity with when they hear the term unity, because they're thinking, okay, I've seen this before. I know where this is going.
Right. I've seen the misuse.
Yeah,
for sure.
And so, and that's unfortunate because you're going to have these straw men, these issues. I think on here I put, which kind of ties back into this idea of really not knowing. I think the cross is where mercy and grace, where there is mercy and grace for ignorance. And by ignorance, I have to be careful with that word because some people are like, ignorant, don't call me ignorant. But I mean it in its truest sense, like in the sense of, okay, there's literally some things that you're not aware of. You don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you're stupid or anything like that. It's no, there's some things that you have not learned this. You have not been taught this. And the reason this comes to mind is because when Jesus was on the cross, he's literally being nails driven into his arms, mocked, mistreated, his stuff being gambled for in front of him, people cursing him and just telling him to die. And what does he say? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Like, and you have to think, like, at some level, they had to know, okay, this isn't right. Like, we shouldn't. At some level. But he's able to realize, okay, there's things they're missing here.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing. When it comes to this idea of unity, we need to be able to look at each other in that sense and realize, okay, there's some things that I'm missing. There's some things that you're missing. And we need to have that grace and that mercy for one another. Because unity doesn't work without that. Just like the cross. I mean, if Jesus was like, okay, y'all should know better, and he starts taking the nails out, it wouldn't have worked.
Right. Well, and the cross is this massive symbol of forgiveness, right?
Exactly.
And then he says... when he's teaching before he went to the cross, he says, you will be forgiven in the measure that you forgive others.
Mm.
And so,
come on,
we
now.
Can't just throw out now. The forgiveness ourselves and expect to be forgiven in the same way. Like, we can't misrepresent unity in that way and then expect unity.
Oh, and I think that's big because I feel like there's a lot of times where it's this idea of, well, why don't you unify with me? Why aren't you with me? Why aren't you supporting? Why aren't you collaborating? Yeah. It's like, well, you'll be forgiven in the same measure you forgive.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll see that unity in the same measure you're
probably. Yeah. Well, he's a just God, right?
Right.
So he's going to. That's what it's all about, right? Is that he's a just God. That's the whole reason we need the law and all those things. And then we need a sacrifice for the law.
Yeah. And that's another thing. The cross literally is a symbol of that justice.
A symbol of justice. Yeah.
It's totally. It's that justice being come to fulfillment.
Being served.
Right?
Yeah.
Man.
No longer animals. There's the Son of God up there on the cross.
Right.
Sacrificing himself for us. And that equal measure thing is super important. I think about that a lot because I think that there's a lot of unforgiveness within the church.
Yeah.
And you see the damage that it causes. It can be really devastating to your own personal health. And you recognize, Jesus pretty much spoke right to that. He's like, if you're not going to forgive, well, maybe you shouldn't count that my forgiveness was actually given to you. And that's one of those.
That's big.
You can get a lot of territory there.
Oh, man. Watch them toes. Watch them toes. Oh, man.
Yeah, see, I'm the guy that's going to take us down many rabbit holes.
Yeah. I love it. Oh, man. I think that's big. That equal measure, realizing, it's as simple as that, doing unto others as you would have them do to you.
Totally.
I mean, it's golden rule
there it
over
is.
And over
that's
again.
That's it again,
right?
Like just expect that if you're doling that out, whatever it is, disunity, unforgiveness, it's going to come back to you in the same way. And you should almost expect it.
Yeah.
That God's just going to allow those things to happen then.
Yeah, man. And isn't it amazing that I feel like we only get a fraction of what we actually do deserve? Mm-hmm. Right? Like we only ever get a fraction of what we actually deserve.
You mean like punishment?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
For sure.
Like if God was up there like the gospel, doing tick for tack, right? Like, he messed up there. We're going to have this.
Why is it called good news?
Right? Right.
It's good news. It's good news. Like I don't have to pay the price for everything that I've done because that'd be miserable.
Yeah. Oh man, that would be horrible. And I feel like, so this past weekend at the youth conference that I was at, we talked a little bit about this, and because we actually were focusing on kind of this theme of unity, mm-hmm. right? And we were focusing on the very last message. We really brought in this aspect of in Ephesians 5, because we're working our way through Ephesians. And then once you get into Ephesians 5, you have Paul talking about husbands loving their wives, you know, as they love themselves. And he goes so far as to say, you know, the husband and wife, you know, the husband shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And he says, this is a mystery that I'm talking about Christ and the church, right? Mm-hmm. And he makes that correlation of the church being the bride of Christ and being the body of Christ. And I feel like, so in that, we were talking about the emphasis of, hey, how we're treating each other. That's how we're treating one another, members of the body. Mm-hmm. That's how we're treating Christ. Because if you look at his words, he talks about, you know, what you do to the least of these.
Yeah, you've done for me.
You've done for me. Mm-hmm. Not you've done to my people, those poor people. Like, yeah. No, you did it to me. When he confronts Saul on the road to Damascus, who becomes Paul, right? When he confronts him, he says, why are you persecuting? He doesn't say, why are you persecuting my followers? Why are you persecuting these people? They're trying to follow me. He says, why are you persecuting me? Yeah. Right? And so he identifies with his body as himself. And he's saying, when you do this to the body, you're doing it to me.
And in the garden, he says that, make them one in me as I am in you, and we will all be one.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And so we have, and he says, I mean, in his prayer, John 17, right? Like that's what he's praying, like that mm-hmm. we'll all be one. And you have the cross. It's often spoken of how like this cross, it symbolizes, you know, our relationship with God and then man's relationship with man. Right. And I feel like, okay, here's another connection point where I feel like this is big when it comes to unity, is that this is where loving God and loving people really connect and overlap. Because especially when you're talking about unity within the body of Christ, you have to recognize, okay, something that we were saying this past weekend was, if you're going to be one with the head and you're going to be loving the head, then you have to be one with the body. And you have to be loving the body. There's no, like, you can't get around that. This is the overlap, right? This is where unity is, this place of where we are loving God and we are loving people. Yeah. And it's almost synonymous, because as you're loving people, you're loving God. Right. And as you're loving God, you're going to love these people, because you recognize, like, this is where his heart is. His heart is with these people.
Well, and when he narrows it down, when they ask him what are the greatest commandment is.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the two things he says.
Yeah.
Love God.
And love people. Right? and he doesn't say, like, these are two completely separate. He says, and the second is like it. Right? And, like, he's showing.
He says they're both super important.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I think that's something that I can never get out of my mind, is that with that cross, you have the horizontal and you have the vertical, right? And people will talk about it in different ways. You know, how are you loving those above you and authority? How are you loving, you know, reaching out and loving people? And how are you loving those that, you know, maybe that you're superior over, your kids or whatever it may be? Mm-hmm. I think but unity, actually, we see that connection of loving God and loving people.
Yeah.
There's that crossover.
Yeah. I always like the symbolism that the Catholics use with the cross.
Yeah, yeah. With the Father, when they do Son, Holy Spirit, yeah.
Which celebrates like the unity of the triune.
Exactly.
Which is kind of cool. Just an extra little add-on.
No, absolutely.
Another one. Because I was raised Catholic early on in my life. And there's certain things in that that I really loved. And I always liked that. I'll still do it sometimes.
Absolutely.
Son, Holy Spirit. Just like... Well, putting that triune God on you, and that's,
there we go.
That's even the way our bodies are. Which is why they did it, right?
Yeah,
that's the body shape. So there's that kind of correlation too, like it's mind, body, you know, spirit.
Absolutely.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, and that, again, that kind of touches back in with that John 17 prayer. To me, that's so, it's amazing. To me, yeah, that's John just, I mean, that, I feel like that should rock us. Like, and it rocks me. I know it rocks me that you have Jesus praying, like, hey, this glory that you've given me, I'm giving to them.
Yeah.
Like, to just even wrap our minds around that, like that we're sharing the glory of Christ, right? That he's inviting us into his glory. I mean, the scripture says we're seated with him in heavenly places, right?
Yeah.
We won't fully understand that and comprehend that, I feel like, until we're in the next life.
Yeah.
But to just even think about that and fathom that, I think to me, that's amazing. And then you have him praying there in John 17 that they will, you know, share this glory. But he goes so far as to say, as we are one, Father, as I have been one with you. And you've so
make
he's inviting us into that triune relationship, right?
Yeah.
That Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he's inviting us into that and saying, like, as we're one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're praying that they that we'll be one in them and they'll be one in us. It's like, there is nothing more perfect and beautiful than that relationship there.
Yeah.
And now he's inviting us into that to experience that wholeness, that oneness, that type. That's the unity he's calling us
that's
to.
That's unity,
Oh, man. I mean, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. Oh, that's crazy.
That's a great verse. I remember, this is like totally a side note.
But no,
I wrote a song called about John 17. I didn't know what it meant.
Mm.
I just really liked the way that sounded.
Yeah.
And then I went and looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh, that is literally like Jesus just talking about how much he loves us and wants us to be a part of where he's at. And really that's the heart of God is that, that's why he sent Jesus. Was
come
like, man, I'm separated from my people. I want that oneness again. How do I achieve it and still remain that justness?
Right.
That I am a God of justice.
Man.
And how do I make it like a permanent?
Yeah. Right.
Right. Because before we had to keep going through the sacrificial system and it's like, man, they just keep messing up.
They're, right. Right.
And that's human nature, I guess.
Yeah.
And God came, you know, he knew that. And he's like, here's my son. Mm. Now I can just have that more easily and all the time.
Come on now. Man. See, I'm going to have to hear that song sometime.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to play it for you sometime.
Yeah, we'll have to. I want to hear that. Oh, man.
It's kind of a rocker.
Is it?
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
But it's,
that's so cool.
But yeah. And for those of you like just listening to stuff, we're talking about John 17. And it literally is Jesus praying right before he goes to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's
yeah.
And for us to just receive the grace that he was giving us, basically.
Yeah. His last moments with the disciples, right? Like, what would you say over your last meal? Like, you know, this is going to be your last meal, closest people in the world to you. What are you going to say? These are the people who are passing on your legacy. And that's what he does.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It is. That's so good.
And he was under stress. That was when he sweat drops of blood.
Just a little later.
Ask God if there was any other way.
Right.
Like, now we're getting it.
Okay. So we're getting into something else that I said. The cross represents submission and obedience.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Like,
well, that's what he did, right?
Right.
So what I was just saying there, he asked God to take the cup from him if there's any possibility to take that. It's a cup of wrath, you know.
Yeah.
It's the justice wrath. Like it's
right.
We think of wrath as being like this really bad thing. It's really just the just punishment for what we've done.
Exactly.
And he's like, is there any other way to do this?
Right.
But if your will, Lord, is that I take this cross and go through this process and the beating and slapping it with the straps and the tearing of the skin and the thorn and all that
crown
stuff.
Crown of thorns.
Crown of thorns. And
walking the hill.
Nails.
The cross.
And, and he's like, your will be done. And total obedience and submission there. And probably something none of us would be willing to do.
Absolutely.
Although some of the apostles did. Right?
Yeah,
they went through that same punishment. So I'd like to think that I would do that.
But it's hard to say.
It's harder to say than the actual do.
Exactly.
It's one of those things where, like, if you really think about it, I mean, that's one of those things. I don't think we, as Christians, think enough about that. Like what it would take, even for especially for the apostles, actually, as not being, God in person,
right,
and having that kind of strength to also go through those kind of punishments,
right,
for what they believed, for what they saw, and were like, this is it, like.
Yeah.
this is worth. I'm gonna go to the cross myself. I'm gonna go to death myself because I know the truth.
Yeah,
and that's one of those like evidence pieces, right?
Exactly.
At least huge it is for evidence. Me. Like huge evidence. 11 out of 12 of them went to their martyrdom.
Like, right. It's not even like the 12th. Of course, depending on how we're counting Judas or Paul, right, mm-hmm. or Matthew, you know, one of the other apostles
more,
that brought
yeah.
in. But if we're ixnaying Judas and we lump Paul in also with Matthew, or I think it was Matthew that was cast in, but with a rolling dice. But look at all 12 of them, even John. The one who didn't die from martyrdom. Mm-hmm. It's not like they didn't try to kill him.
Oh yeah, and they still went through prisons and all that.
Right?
Stuff. Paul wrote most of the New Testament from prison, and yeah, I mean they suffered, man.
Yeah,
talk about submission there too.
Yeah,
and all around the crosses themselves, you know, that's what they were preaching. They were like, the cross brings salvation. Jesus rose from the dead, and we're willing to go through hell, so to speak, to make that known to the rest of the world.
Yeah. And that's that other word is that suffering, right? You have obedience, submission, suffering. These are things that I feel like are so central to the Christian faith that we don't spend as much time on. Because again, you talk about submission, obedience, just like the word unity.
Yeah.
Those can be abused, right?
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah, submission especially.
Right? And then, even with suffering, right? Because you have people who will go so far as, masochism? Is that the right word for it? Where they'll intentionally inflict themselves with pain and hit themselves those types of things. And it's, but with Christianity, you can't really read through the Bible with at least not with the spirit guiding you, right? And not realize, okay, Christians are called to obedience. We're called to submission. We're called to suffering. These are things that Jesus literally showed us in his life and that he spoke about time and time again.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a cute saying when he was saying, you have to take up your cross and follow me. Like, I mean, he literally, we're talking about the cross, right?
Yeah.
He's literally saying like,
we have our own crosses to bear and it's going to be hard.
Yeah. And it's one of those things to where I feel like unity is very similar in that when it comes to us walking out the Christian faith, if we're going to be walking in unity, then we have to acknowledge and recognize there's suffering attached to this. Like, this is difficult. This is hard. This takes obedience. Like, we're not always jumping into this all, you know, feeling fluffy. And this is exactly what I felt like doing this morning.
Right.
It's hard, and sometimes it's purely from obedience, like how Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he submitted, and he was obedient to the point of death on the cross.
Yeah.
Unity is something that we're commanded towards.
Yeah.
And so it's a matter of obedience, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it feels like we're going to be crucified.
A lot of times it's hard.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because same thing, right? The enemy's against that.
Yeah.
And he's going to do everything he can. Like the people that imprisoned, beat, crucified, the apostles and all that, they were under an influence that wasn't godly.
Yeah.
And so we're going to face those same kind of things.
Exactly.
And, I faced it in ministry. And I think that's, to go back to my thing about the 18%.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we're facing, if you are pursuing Christ and you are pursuing the gospel and you are bringing other people along with you.
Yeah.
You are going to face attack.
Absolutely.
And that's a scary thing. And I think that sometimes that keeps people from the gospel. And that's why we sometimes, and this is to the fault of Christianity, make it like, oh, if you join Christianity, everything's going to be great, you know? And it is great. I want to preface this by saying it is great because like there's no more joy and like fruit and all those things that I've ever received from anything other than Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also super challenging.
Absolutely.
And I've been called to do things that I never thought I would do.
Yeah.
I've been attacked in ways that were both spiritual and not as much physical, but like spiritual, but like or just by people.
Yeah. Yeah. Socially.
Socially.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Or just excommunicated.
Yeah.
From social groups.
Yeah.
From it. And that's all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I do still think it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Like so much.
Absolutely.
Like, there's nothing better than setting someone free through Christ.
Yeah.
Because there's so much freedom that comes from addictions and all these different things that exactly. we deal with. And even just like peace, like through all the affliction, there's still like peace.
Yeah.
And you're going to face affliction whether you're a Christian or not. Mm. But outside of Christianity, there's not, I don't think we have the same peace.
No.
And I definitely know that like we don't have the same, because there's way more worry and like, is this all going to work out? Yeah. You know? And even now, like I'm going off on mission, you know, it's becoming a missionary and I'm not yeah. fully provided for right now
yeah.
from that yet.
Exactly.
But I'm really trusting in God and I have like mm-hmm. a peace about it that I would not have had. Like, there's just no way.
I hear you. Like, I hear you.
I'd be like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm so filled with worry and uh-huh. stress. And no, it's like when you know God, it's different.
Yeah. Peace and beyond understanding.
So yeah. we should understand that there is suffering and actually make it just part of our
yeah.
thing. It's suffering, but it's worthwhile suffering.
Absolutely.
And it produces things both in you and outside of you
yes.
that are worth
Absolutely.
Suffering for.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like I'm just a different person
yeah.
than I was before God in many ways. And then, like I said, I've been called to do things that I never thought I'd do. And I'm so glad that I've done them now.
Yeah.
And yeah, so just it's worth it.
Absolutely. That suffering is always a matter of God putting us through the fire. Like he's purifying us.
Yeah.
He's molding
us. Growing
he's shaping us. It's growing us. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And making us more and more into the image of Christ, right?
Yeah.
Who we saw suffered, right? And we see time and time again throughout scripture that there is this place of really gratitude and humility that we would be able to join Christ in his suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's where we need to get, where we're not looking for suffering, right?
We're not trying to suffer for Christ.
Yeah.
Bap.
But to realize that if we're serving God, like you said, and that yeah. suffering comes, that God has counted us worthy to join Jesus, mm. right? In the same path that he walked,
yeah.
right? Where that suffering is. And man, I think that's big. I think that's real. We need to be able to look at Jesus' example of that obedience, submission, suffering, and say, you know, for these reasons, like that's why we're pursuing this. That's why we yeah. pursue Christ. That's why we pursue unity in Christ, is because it's obedience. It's submitting to his word, and the suffering that comes from it, it's purifying us.
Yeah.
I mean, and some of that suffering literally is just a matter of struggling to get along. Like
yeah.
struggling to figure each other out and pushing past what Jesus had to face is when you're taking this kingdom of heaven and you're mixing it with mankind, right?
Yeah.
That's where the cross happens, right? Like the cross is where the kingdom of heaven and mankind mix together. This is the result. This is what.
yeah.
And so when you're taking a kingdom of heaven pursuit, right? And the oneness of the kingdom, the oneness of that, the triune God that we're invited into, and you're mixing it with mankind and our flaws, right?
Yeah.
As we're doing this, as we're working this out, We're going to see the cross. We're going to see that suffering
yeah.
And some of that. But we push through in obedience. We push through in submission.
Yeah, and we learn things. Like,
and we do, absolutely.
Like going back to like the forgiveness thing, we learn how to forgive better.
Yeah.
We learn what it means to be forgiven.
Exactly.
We learn how to trust. We learn how to, you know, there's so many things.
Oh, man, so much.
That could be many, many podcasts
right?
About each of those things.
Oh, man.
But God's always teaching us something new, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I think that in a way that's kind of like, oh man, you're going to teach me something else again. but every time it's like, after you get on the other side of it, you're like, man, I'm glad you took me through that, God.
Yeah,
I'm exactly. glad you helped me to get better at forgiveness or get
yeah.
better at trusting or get better at
right.
just my relationships with other people.
Right. Haven't I come far?
Get better at loving, better at loving people.
Haven't I come far enough? No, we still got a ways to go. Trust me, you'll see.
Oh yeah, and never think you're there.
Yeah, right.
God will show you that you're not.
Oh man. Okay. All right. We're gonna finish this off. Lightning round. Any final thoughts? Any final things you had on your list there?
Let me just check my list real quick while we're doing final thoughts.
Okay.
Here.
Here, I'll do my lightning, my last three. I'll make them real short. Because we've touched around these. There's death to self, right? Cross represents dying to yourself. Same thing happens in unity. Focus on the word of God. Something that I always find so beautiful is that as you see Jesus quoting the Psalms, mm-hmm. like getting himself through what's happening, he's focusing on God's word, and he's using that as a way of encouragement. And I think it's the same thing when it comes to unity. Again, there's going to be struggle. The only way we push through is by focusing on his word, remembering what it calls us to. And then I mentioned before, like that idea that it's for all, just realizing that it crosses every barrier. And that
the cross crosses every barrier.
It does, right? it does, though. And then it's like, this is where he says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself, right? And so that's where we all come together is at the cross.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's like a place of that we can all come together and surrender.
Yeah.
It's a symbol of God's love and just power. Like he is able to walk in power into.
And I think that's big.
Terrible things.
Because we need that.
For us.
Yeah. We need that. Especially as we talk about unity. That's not something man can muster up. Like we can't do that in our own strength. If we're going to do it the way God calls us to, we need his power.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about that. Like just. He hasn't called us to do any of that stuff alone.
Yeah.
Right. As
come on.
Because then through the cross, we didn't even talk about this either. Through the cross is when we started to receive the Holy Spirit to everybody.
Come on, man.
That's when he released his Holy Spirit to the masses.
Right.
And that's our helper. Like that's that person of God that gets to just like take us through all these like difficult things that he's calling us into and help us to grow. Cross where we are, lay down our differences, come together in forgiveness and reconciliation. Victory over death is a massive symbol there.
Absolutely.
Like, he's got the victory. And that's, I think, that was probably that real symbolism of why the apostles were able to do what they were able to do. It's like they saw it. Like they saw him rise from the dead. They're like, no matter what happens to me, I know that there's something on the other side of that. And it's eternal life.
Exactly.
With Christ. Yeah. And so it's going to be tough. But I got the Holy Spirit with me. And you see it over and over again in Acts, the Holy Spirit working through them. And they're like coming out with power. And and he says, you don't even need to worry about what you're going to say. Just rely on my Spirit. And just let me speak through you.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. And they went up to the people that were counter to what Jesus was teaching and just bold.
Yeah.
And just like, here it is, like up to Caesar even, you know, like trying to get up, go up to the kings and all this stuff. And they changed the world.
Absolutely.
Like 12 people changed the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny, 12 people that for the large part were really discounted as leaders.
Oh yeah. They were kids.
Right. Well, and none of them were on the track to, except Paul. Really? None of them were really on the track to be one of the main leaders within Israel.
They were already fishermen,
so they had already been kind of
zealots.
Filtered out, right? And I mean, even with Paul, I mean, he could have rose ranks of within the Pharisees, right? But he was never going to be a priest.
He wasn't misguided at the time.
Yeah. So I mean, man, that's really interesting. And I think something that you said about them being able to see Jesus resurrect, it just made me think of really pushing our mindset towards this. I'm not living for this here. So you can take this away, right? Like what happens here, I can lose this. I'm willing to let this go. Yeah. You can do what you will with me on this side. I'm living for what's over there.
Yeah. Real quick side note on that.
Oh, yeah.
I love this representation that I saw. Sorry.
No, do it.
Another rabbit hole. But Francis Chan, which I love to watch.
Yes.
He's just
the
way he talks.
Absolutely.
Is so awesome.
Absolutely.
But he was using this analogy of a rope, right?
Mm.
And the rope went clear off the stage. So like it was supposed to symbolize eternity.
Uh-huh.
So the rope was supposed to be like, it goes on forever. And he said, our life here is this little, you know, where they tape the end of a rope.
Exactly.
It's like maybe like a couple inches or two or an inch. And he's like, this is our life on earth.
Yeah.
Why are we living for this and not for this? And
he would
throw the rope up in the air. He's like, why are we living all of our life based on this part?
Exactly.
That to me was like, holy cow.
Exactly.
That's exactly what we're talking about right now. It's like, it doesn't matter how much suffering is here because we have an eternity of not suffering.
Yeah.
And
the glory that awaits, right? You know? The glory that awaits is not to be compared.
And I can say that when I haven't been tortured and beaten, but yeah. So, like, definitely, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go through that. Please, Lord, I don't want to go through that. But if I have, if it comes down to it, you can see why certain people, when they've really accepted the faith and understand like who God is and who Jesus is, that we do have people getting martyred every day.
Absolutely.
And it's terrible. Mm-hmm. And it's all over the world. That's what our brothers and sisters. Yeah. And you can see why they do, though.
Yeah.
Because it is like, it's eternal. Mm-hmm. It's an eternal battle.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. Okay. So we're out of time on this one. We're going to close. But I feel like that was, we hit some good points
there. Oh, sure.
There.
Yeah. That was good.
And that definitely, we will have to come back to what
you were
saying.
There's many things we hit.
Oh, yeah. But we definitely want to, like you said, we'll have to do an episode just kind of talking about the, and I don't even know if you can just really capture it all in the mental health struggle of the pastor, like being in
ministry.
Well,
you can
talk
about unity there and how we need to support each other.
Yeah.
So absolutely. A lot of what I'm going into is how do we support each other within ministry?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're not silos.
Yeah.
And we're, because we're all going through those battles against the enemy and against the principalities of this world, right?
Yeah.
And so,
and that means more than just like helping each other fulfill objectives, like do things.
Yeah, it means like doing life together, praying with each other, like fighting the battle together.
Yeah,
right. And that's a unity piece, right?
Absolutely.
And it's not just our church and this church. It's like the churches together.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.